Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Tuesday, October 3rd, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 157, the third paragraph. Hopelessness was written large on the man's face through that one paragraph ending, "I can't understand it," reading and commenting on this one paragraph only today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Yvonne A., 12 Traditions, Tanya P., readers of the text, Larry G., Joan Marie M., and Eileen M. The reference number for Monday, October 2nd, is 20,694. That's 20694. And for this morning, Tuesday, October 3rd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,696. That's 20696. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Lois P., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers." At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Yvonne A. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Dawn, and good morning, everyone else. I'm Yvonne A., a compulsive overeater in BC, Canada. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Yvonne A. I will now ask Tanya P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, Dawn, and everyone on the line. Thank you for allowing me to do service. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Tanya P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To unmute, once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, every phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 157, the third paragraph. Hopelessness was written large on the man's face, through one paragraph ending, "I can't understand it." Reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. I will now ask Larry G. to begin reading.
Thank you, Don. My name is Larry G. I'm from California. Hopelessness was written large on the man's face as he replied, "Oh, but that's no use. Nothing can fix me. I am a goner. The last 3 times I got drunk on the way home from here. I'm afraid to go out of the door. I can't understand it." Wow. My first meeting and a vision for you on May 18th, 2020, read this. This is the paragraph that was read on that vision for you meeting. My very first time in a vision for you. And I was using those same words on May 17th of 2020. I was hopeless. There was no use going to OA anymore. Nothing can fix me. I'm a goner. I used that word, "I'm a goner," over and over again. I talked to my wife about this last night. I said, "How can this happen?" And she said that God performs many miracles. And my wife right now is listening to her meeting, and before she goes to work, we're going to do the third step together. And when she says something, has a lot of depth and weight, I listen. So I was Bill Dotson in the living room on May 17th, head in my hands, crying, sobbing, had a plan to off myself, but God had a different idea for me. God spoke to me to call this person, who eventually became, well, I called that person that day, and that person became Bill and Bob, 12-stepped me into a vision for you, and became my sponsor. I feel that I'm beyond desperate. I really do, and what that means is that I have a debt to pay. It's an unforgivable loan. My wife and I are about to pay our house off, and we're about to pay our car off. Those loans will be forgiven, but this debt I owe to a vision for you, to God, is unforgivable debt. This program has a hook in me, And the hook is this debt. I will never repay it. You know, I talk to a lot of new people, and one of the common conversations is how much work a vision for you is. I don't see this as work. I'm on a meeting Monday through Friday. I am sponsored. I'm going through the steps a second time. I listen to the special edition. I do whatever it takes. And I don't see it as work. I see every step I take is a step towards freedom. And that freedom is a way of life today that is beyond my wildest imagination. I was a dying man on May 17, 2020. Today, I'm a man with great physical vitality and health. I have interesting adventures in my life. I just came back from a business trip in Santa Barbara. I was in a sort of place, and I came back sober. Did I hear someone say time?
You did.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'm here to tell you that this program works, and I hope that the new person on this call who is also saying they're a goner will hear something today. They'll get off the sidelines and call somebody and also take steps of freedom. And with that, I pass it back to you, Dawn.
Thank you so much, Larry G. Great way to get us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share in this paragraph?
Donna B.
Donna B.
Wendy M.
Wendy M.
Joan
Marie. Eileen M.
Joan Marie.
Thank you.
And who is that other voice?
Eileen M.
Eileen M.
Tanya P.
Tanya P.
Deb E. in the gym.
And Deb E. Let's go ahead and stop there. I have Donna B., Wendy M., Joan Marie M., Eileen M., Tanya P., and Deb E. Donna B., please go ahead, get us started, and let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, binge purge bulimic, and exercise bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. If you look me up, my name is spelled D-A-N-A, but it is pronounced Donna. This is a really timely paragraph for us to be reading today, personally, in my life. I had the experience of complete and total desperation and a willingness to do absolutely anything to experience the recovery that I witnessed in others. And I'm at peace. I don't have a philosophical argument with myself about what it means to be hopeless, what it means to be desperate, what it means to be, you know, quote-unquote, broken and needing to be helped, and this idea that my thinking at the beginning of working the steps is unreliable and I'm in a state of self-will. But I have sponsored many people over the years that resist, that balk, that do not want to accept a label of hopelessness and desperation, and sort of see it as a message of, oh, you can't rely on your thinking, you can't rely on your instincts, you've got to do exactly what I say, you've got to, you know, you just can't trust yourself right now, and really resist against that. And I don't have an argument for that. I don't think of that as an invitation for me to defend the big book or the stories, or even not to defend it, but even to reframe it. It just seems to me that the big book is communicating that hopelessness and despair and desperation is a prerequisite for the willingness to do the work that I'm asked to do if I want to be well. So if anyone's ever interested in calling me, I'm interested in whether you have an experience of other people balking at, no, I don't want to accept that tenet of this program, and whether there's a peaceful resolution to it or just go out and eat some more. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. Wendy M., please share with us, followed by Joan Marie M.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado, recovering. Don, thanks so much for taking the meeting, everybody on the line. So I'm nervous to share because it's not like everything's going great share, but that might be okay. That actually might be great. So here's the, I'm a goner. I spent 3 hours with my sponsor giving away my fifth step. And then I listened to two fabulous recordings. And I said, yeah, I've got this, God. I know I can handle it this time. I'm good to go. I just gave away my fifth step. I just told another human being that I have an anger problem. I have a rage problem, if I'm going to be more honest with all of you. And I'm not picking up the food. I've got 2 months this week, and I'm grateful for all of that. That's a grace. I'm picking up rage. And that's the thing. Like, told my sponsor, yep, this is what I do. You know, I'm on the sixth step. I pretty much should be done with it. And then last night, just watching myself almost in slow motion, yelling and screaming at my partner. And just waking up this morning, I'm a goner. I can't get this. It's hopeless. You know, and you don't hear so much about the emotional sobriety piece as you do about the food. So I hesitate to talk about it. But for me, it's part of being unmanageable. My life is unmanageable when I choose to rage at my partner, to get angry at my partner. And somebody said in the earlier meeting, goner might be the good news. I'm a goner is the good news. I'm hopeless is the good news. Because if I don't know that I'm hopeless or a goner, then I'm still going to think about what else I can do. You know, what's another scheme to control this behavior, to control it, and I can't. And it doesn't matter if I have the desire, because I need access to power. And maybe, just maybe, I don't get access to power on step six. I do notice that little by little, God is creeping into my life. But I swear to God, I want perfection. I don't want to be yelling at my partner. I want to be perfect at this point. And it's just not the case. You know, God is convicting me. God is saying, we're not done. We're not done at all. And that is the good news. And you just keep doing the step work. Like, I don't have any other plan today to figure it out. As somebody said, there's two words that represent what this entire program is about, and that is let and go. You know, let go. Let go of your gonerism. Let go of your hopelessness. Let go of your desire to figure out how to not be angry. I can't do any of that. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Joan Marie M., please share with us, followed by Eileen M.
Yes, I'm Joan Marie M. from Nevada, recovered by the grace and mercy of God. Am I being heard?
You sure are.
Oh, thank you. Thank you to everyone. What a wonderful share. I love this meeting. Nothing could fix me. I'm a goner. I got drunk on the way home from here many, many times. I would go to a meeting. Before I went, there was a particular bakery that I would go to, and I would be sugared out during the whole meeting. No wonder I couldn't get it. Many times, another time, I would buy all of this stuff and the sugar stuff, and in the way into the meeting, I would throw it away in this big dumpster. And then on the way out, I would wish I could climb into that. But instead, I went to the store and bought more. I was a goner. Nothing could fix me but God and this program. The 12 steps are the way to live my life daily. And my life is not perfect. There's ups and downs. I'm not perfect. But today, the thought of even using food doesn't come to my mind. That is a miracle. A miracle. Because before I came back this time again, I could not stop. I couldn't stop. I was listening to Vision for about 2 weeks. I got a sponsor. I did the work. I continue to do the work and sponsors others. And what a privilege it is to sponsor others. I am so grateful for them. So very grateful. It keeps reminding me that if I don't do this work, I slip in any area, I'm on a slippery ground, and I don't want to ever go back there. And so I'm so grateful to be on this line today, to be able to watch people eat the things that I would have died for to eat, and I was dying literally, and now they do not even, sorry, my dogs are having a fit here, I don't even desire them. That's freedom. And emotional freedom, too. It's all. It's spiritually. It's physically. It's emotionally for having freedom. Oh, my God. I'm so grateful. And anyone that's listening that is thinking about it or thinking they can't make it, if I did, you can. You surely can. And how many of us have made it? And each day, I stay spiritually fit. I go to my God. I talk to him through the day. I ask for guidance and direction. And even before I share, I pray, because God knows hearts. I don't, and so I'm grateful. God bless you all. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Eileen M., please share with us, followed by Tanya P., and if you happen to be just joining us, we
Good
are
morning.
On page
this is
one.
Eileen M. I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in New Hampshire, and I wanted to comment on the line where it says, I got drunk on the way home from here. I'm afraid to go out the door. I can really relate to that because, you know, I had really white-knuckled for my, you know, my abstinence was white-knuckled prior to getting the spiritual awakening that made me free. And, you know, the solution that was offered at my local meetings was to, you know, go to more meetings, make more calls, try harder, you know, think through the bite, and, you know, Now when I look at that, I think through the bite. I mean, if I could have done that, I wouldn't be in OA, actually. And I really depended on the meetings to keep me abstinent when I was struggling. And, you know, I really believe now that no human power could have kept me abstinent. You know, that it was a lack of power. I really never heard that before until I came to Vision. And, you know, when I would go to extra meetings, often I would come home and overeat anyway, you know, so I don't know, it wasn't until I got to Vision where I heard that, you know, our problem is the buildup of human emotions, and, you know, that's what drives the mental obsession, and I had no way of dealing with those emotions, as long as I was working a tool-only program, there was no way to deal with it,
and
you know, here's the other lie I told myself, was that people that were maintaining abstinence, they had a perfect life and I did not. And I really believe that. I believe that was the reason I could not do it. And, you know, when I discovered, when I, you know, found a vision for you, I found, I heard things like, you know, lack of power, that's our dilemma. And, you know, the miracle only happened when I got a sponsor from a vision for you, and I did not interview anyone. I took the first sponsor who came along, and I followed the directions. And, you know, today I'm not afraid to go out the door like I used to be, and I'm very grateful. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Eileen M. If you're just joining us, we are on page 157, talking about that third paragraph. Hopelessness was written large on the man's face through that end of the paragraph, ending with, I can't understand it. So Tanya P., please share with us, followed by Deb E., and then I'll be taking some more names.
Good morning, everyone. This is Tanya P., gratefully recovered in Michigan's Upper Peninsula by God's grace and mercy. I am the person who resists recovery. I've been in the program since the early 90s, in and out of the program since the early 90s. I had a really nice long stretch of abstinence and recovery until my dad became ill and then died. And I couldn't stay out of the food. I was a goner. And the attitude that I carried around me was, nothing's going to fix this. I'm done. I'm done. And my hopelessness was actually belligerent. I can't. I'm not going to. But two of my most very favorite people, one a sponsor, former sponsor, and one just someone who I love and is in program, just didn't leave me alone. They called me with caring messages. They sent me texts. They just shared their experience, strength, and hope. They never said, you have to do this. But one of them finally said, so when are you going to get a sponsor? And I said, I don't know. And she sent me a name. And that person just dragged me patiently through the steps. And I'm not sure how she did it, except with there were these long silences that I didn't know what to do with. And finally came to a place of gratitude and acceptance. And a feeling of quiet inside. I can go out my door. I can go on a quilt shop hop with friends and take my own food and not have any problem with that, do my prayers before I leave. I'm just very grateful, to be able to do service. And I am thankful to everyone who's on this line. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Tanya P. from Michigan. Deb E., please share with us. And I'll take more
Thank
names.
You. Hi. Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in the jail. I feel like I've already forgotten everything I wanted to share on this paragraph. There was so much that was coming to mind. I'll just go in order of what I remember. So I got drunk on the way home from here. I don't remember how long it lasted, but I remember going in my first meeting and feeling so much relief by just being there and finding out that there were other people like me. And then going home and binging, like still binging, you know, and I'd go, but I kept going back to meetings and I kept hearing more of the experience, strength, and hope, and the binging just wasn't fun anymore. Not that it was ever truly fun, but, you know, before I developed any kind of awareness of what was beneath it, there was something fun about the anticipation of it. Once I started eating, it wasn't. But, and I just, it just reminds me of how much, like, we just have to keep going. Like, I just had to keep, I hate to say keep coming back because it's such a used line, but, like, I had to just keep trying because I knew nothing else had worked. And I guess that's, you know, that gift of desperation that we talk about a lot. And I had to just keep going and listening and sharing. And slowly things changed, you know. Slowly the food lost its appeal. Slowly the spiritual connection grew. And there was something I really wanted to say, and I can't think of it now. But I guess I'll just leave it at that for today. It'll be a quick share, and maybe someone else can squeeze in. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Deb E. from Israel. And now I'm going to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Bruce
Michelle
E.
F.
Bruce E.
Barbara
Michelle
E.
F.
from New Jersey.
Barbara E.
Nancy J.
Fran R. California.
Fran R. And who is the other name before
Janet
Fran?
Janet E. from Nevada.
Janet E. And who else did I miss?
Nancy J. California.
Nancy J. Okay, let's go ahead and stop there. Bruce E., Michelle F., Barbara E., Fran R., Janet E., and Nancy J. Bruce E., go ahead and get us started, please.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for sharing this. Thanks for everybody on the line. I'm grateful today that I'm recovered in Fort Myers, Florida. Excuse me. Really grateful to be on this line and be able to share on this particular passage here. Got a little noise here, a little wind where I am. I hope you can hear me okay. Yeah, well, that's me on this paragraph. Hopelessness was written large on the man's face. I mean, that was me getting drunk 3 times on the way home. I ate right away, going to weekend retreats, OA weekend retreats. Ate pretty quick afterwards, you know. Probably might have got a little drunk on the way home. I don't know, if not then, maybe the next day or so. So I can understand this guy, and I understand myself a little bit better now. Since I tried, you know, like I heard earlier, I tried using the tools, and just exclusively the tools, you know. I got all these tools, you know. I got meetings, literature, the phone calls, you know, I got all this stuff I can do. And I just use these tools. And I couldn't get sober. I couldn't get abstinent. You know, it didn't work for me. You know, the tools didn't work. And just calls didn't work. And then I tried literature to the point where I about memorized that magenta-colored book that we got here in this program. Just about memorized it. And but I kept getting drunk on the way home. So finally I just sort of thought that's the way it is. You know, that's the way it's going to be. You know, week or two of abstinence and then I blow it. You know, that kind of thing. And finally, you know, got on this call and got a sponsor. And he said, well, you've been in the program 25 years. He said, you haven't gotten recovered yet. You want to go another 25 years before you get recovered? I told him, no, I'll be dead then probably. You know, I'm old enough to where I might be dead then. So he said, well, then start reading this. Let's start reading this, starting with the doctor's opinion. And together we'll be reading this thing. And sure enough, I started feeling a connection to my higher power that I hadn't felt before. Just reading it with somebody else, doctor's opinion and that. Thank you. And then I got recovered. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Michelle F., please share with us, followed by Barbara E.
Hi, thank you for your service. Michelle F. from Massachusetts. And desperation. I sometimes fight it being called a gift, but it was. I used to say I came in to OA on my knees at step one, but I think I had a series of bottoms, and I just got a year back. So relapse is a part of my story. I just want to encourage anybody who is getting discouraged to just keep trying and to just keep coming. My step three kind of looks like, I don't care if I never get this again. this is the program for me. This is the way of life for me, and I'm going to do it until I no longer am alive, because there is no other option, you know. And it took me 2 months to get my abstinence defined and to get a sponsor. And I ate. I went to the OA meetings, and on the way home, I ate. And I can remember when I decided what my abstinence was, I went out and had one last hurrah before I started. And I can remember it was ice cream. I sat there on a bench, and it was a beautiful summer day, crying, eating an ice cream, thinking, I can't believe this is the last time I'll ever eat this. And I'm okay today. I'm abstinent today. I probably haven't had that stuff in at least a decade. And each time that I slip or relapse, I am reminded, oh yeah, I am a compulsive overeater and food addict. It's never wasted. I don't think anything is ever wasted in God's economy. You know, it's all for a reason. And sponsoring has kept it green for me. And it is a great joy to share my story and my recovery and this book with other people, because I remember where, what that felt like when I was there. And I think that's all I really have to say. Thank you very much. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle F. from Massachusetts. Barbara E., please share with us, followed by Fran R.
Oh, good morning, everyone. May I be heard? No?
Yes, we hear you.
I'll try that again. Good morning, everyone. Can I be heard?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. This is Barbara E., a volume compulsive overeater from New Jersey. I am a compulsive overeater from the time I was born. But I just wanted to say, when I first came to OA, my program was a food plan and meetings. Those were enough for me to take off the pounds, but not to keep them off. So I had to go deeper. I had to learn to recognize my feelings and how to cope with them. When I was angry, I saw that I ate at people instead of confronting them. When I was fearful, I ran away into food. No matter what the feeling, lonely, depressed, hurt, self-hating, guilty, deprived, worry, I used food to bury it. Since I was abstinent and didn't overeat, I maintained my weight loss, but that didn't keep me from going into relapse. I had to do more. I had to work the steps. I couldn't abstain from calling my sponsor. I couldn't abstain from telling on myself. I couldn't no longer abstain from doing a nightly review. I couldn't abstain from the action of writing about my feelings. I couldn't abstain from doing my nightly inventory, because if I did, I'd fall back into that dark place, a hole so big I thought I'd never see the light of day. I'd be a goner. I learned if I stopped abstaining from all those things, like telling on myself and sharing it with another, I could recover one day at a time. But I believe if I slip, it's not a dead end. It's a detour. It's not a roadblock. It's just a life lesson. So I come to these meetings, I hear your wisdom, and thank you all for your service. I know life will not be perfect. It'll have some bumps, but I can get through it without running to the food again if I stay connected to my higher power that tells me, no, Barbara, don't do it. You know better, and you can live to recover. One day, one footstep, sometimes one meal, one phone call at a time. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara E. from New Jersey. Fran R., please share with us, followed by Janet E.
Thank you, Dawn. Yes, good morning. This is Fran R. from California. This is a great paragraph for me. the word hopelessness, and then the I counted four I statements. And to me, those I statements are excuses. And I've had a lot of excuses. And I was in the program for a long time, and I left for 20 years, and I am back. And it was very humbling, and I have a pattern, whether in a program, in the program or not, of being gung-ho in the beginning. So I was very gung-ho from that first coming back meeting. And I got a sponsor first night. I did everything that I was told initially, and I lost a lot of weight. And that was my pattern. But my emotional and my spiritual, it was not totally there. I thought it was there, but it wasn't totally there. And then I started slipping and sliding with my food. I committed my food every day, and I was very good about it. And then I started slipping and sliding and making the I statements, like in this paragraph. Oh, I can do this. I can have that. I'm okay. I wasn't reading the big book as I should have been. And that's what it has taken. I'm back on board. I'm reading with another fellow. I'm reading every morning. And this new sponsor, that's what I needed. That's what I needed, was the help of reading with someone. And I'm very appreciative, and my emotional stability is getting there, as well as my food abstinence. And with that, I pass. And I thank you all for being there every morning, every day, for each other. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Fran R. from California. Janet E., please share with us, followed by Nancy J. Star one,
hi.
Janet. Oh, there we go.
It's G, like George.
Okay, very good.
Janet,
thank you.
G. Uh-huh. All these have been such wonderful shares. I can relate to so many of them. The food has, since I reached the age of reason, food was my addiction. Food was my comfort, my everything. And I was told by my family, or the family I was living with, that with a positive attitude and some discipline, I can do anything. I can achieve anything. And that my problem was that I had no self-discipline. See, they weren't compulsive people. They didn't understand an addiction. They didn't understand that. And they weren't hypocrites. That's the way they lived, you know. And I like to call, I like to call, food was my comfort until it wasn't. And then I felt like a slave to it. And I hated food. I hated me. I hated everybody. I just was so tired of going around on the merry-go-round and never getting the brass ring, the miracle happening for me. But I needed that moment of desperation, and I like to call it my gift of desperation, because my pride was finally lowered. I was ready, finally, to listen to God. It took that much for me to be open enough and trust enough in a program that would help me. So I like to call it my gift of desperation, because that's when my heart opened enough to let God in, and my mind enough to let him guide me during the day. And thank you. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that. So love everybody. So glad you're here and I'm a part of it. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, Janet G. Nancy J., please share with us, and we have time for a two-minute share, if you could make it 2 minutes, Nancy. Thank you.
Sure, great. Good morning, Nancy J. in California. Super grateful today. I was afraid to go out of the house really resonates with me. Last year at this time, I was in a serious relapse. And trying to control the food without program, really. You know, I would go to meetings. Somebody else mentioned using the tools, but wasn't doing what I should do. And, you know, I was just in denial, that fuzzy brain we get trying to control the food. And I would be fine. So I wouldn't go anywhere other than work and home, even to my daughters or, you know, I just couldn't leave the house because if I left the house, it would happen, right? So just complete isolation and darkness. And what freedom today, you know, it's been, I don't know, I think it's close to 10 months now. I've been out of that relapse and just worked the steps and using the steps every day and the tools. It's just a miracle. And yeah, Halloween time. I remember last Halloween, I was in the food and I tried not to partake when I was handing out candy. At the beginning, and by the time the end of the evening handing out candy, I had put the candy out on the porch and closed the doors and taken all the good stuff out of the bowl for me and left all the dum-dum suckers or the sweet tarts in the bowl and closed the door and just had my way with it. You know, actually that was last year. So just super grateful for being out of that muck. Of a nightmare. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy J. from California. Great way to end our meeting. Thank you to everyone who shared. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Joan Marie M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then.
Yes. Here we go. I'm running because I was in the other room. Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand him. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We will be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep